2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I am here today with Josh Norris. We're going to be talking some Rangers, the reigning World Series champion Rangers today. Josh, how's it going, man? How you been? Been a while since the Parrot and the Bear have rode together.
We are doing well. It's nippy down here in North Carolina, but I'm sure it's a little nippier where you are. So you're wearing a ski cap. I've got my hoodie on. So we're breaking out of winter, but as you've seen from my feed, there's a little bit of baseball going on. There's college scrimmages. We're going to have official college games next weekend, if I can do math. And then soon enough, we'll be at spring training, and then the big leagues and all that stuff will start.
Yeah, no, it's actually not bad here. It's 41 degrees, Josh, which is pretty warm. And it's sunny. The sun's outside, not a cloud in the sky. I just kind of cosplay as a mountain man. Once we turn in the handbook until it's time to go to spring training, I like don't really trim the beard, and I'm just constantly wearing winter hats because it's usually sub 30. So just rocking with it, you know.
I can't do that.
Home, you're a writer. I don't have to go out into pleasant, polite society all that often.
I can't do that. I don't ever go out in polite society, but I can't do the mountain man beard thing. If I go much past a couple weeks, like, it starts to drive me insane. So
you gotta put some lotion on that baby, you know. Gotta keep it oiled up, gotta keep it soft.
No. You know?
Supple. All right. Anyway, we're talking Texas Rangers and beards. Josh, obviously this team, they won the World Series last year. They had made some investments in some high price free agents, guys like Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, of course, went out and got Nathan Eovaldi, John Gray, Andrew Heaney, Jacob DeGrom, though he didn't contribute much last year, also went out and acquired someone like Max Scherzer as well. Though it maybe hurt the depth of the system, but didn't kill it. And there are some top names here at the top and some players that they've produced that are in the big leagues, guys like Josh Jung, of course, Evan Carter, and then guys that they acquired earlier in their careers when they had sort of been cast aside, maybe with their prior organizations, guys like Adolis Garcia to a lesser extent, Nathaniel Lowe. Kind of an interesting mix of players here, but the Rangers have made it work. We know about Carter. We know about Langford. Those guys, when you talk within the organization, Josh, are they discussed as guys that they look as, you know, contributors in 2024? I would imagine that's certain for Carter. What about Langford?
I would be very surprised if he's not there at some point in 2024. You know, he's really good. They moved him very quickly. Obviously, part of that is the way the minor league season worked. And, you know, one league ends, you get to go to the next one, yada, yada, yada. He was, I believe, the only non-40-man roster player at their Stay Ready camp during the postseason. Mm-hmm. So while he wasn't really considered when Adolis Garcia went down, he was there and, you know, taking ABs against a guy like Danny Duffy and all those guys out at their camp. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in the big leagues at some point. We'll see how he does in his first big league spring training. But I don't know when it will happen, but I'd imagine you'll see. Put it this way. If I'm ranking the Rangers next year, I do not expect to rank him. I expect he will be done as a prospect by then.
Yeah, obviously. We'll talk a little bit more about Carter versus Langford. But some other players here in the top 10 and throughout the top 30 that are on the 40-man roster. Are there some other players that, you know, could potentially contribute for the Rangers or at least provide them some depth if some of these starters from this core at the major league level do go down?
It's a little bit thinner of a system, as you might expect from all the trades they made. You know, part of the reason they were able to win the World Series last year was because they were so very aggressive. And, you know, when a guy like Jacob DeGrom went down, they went out and acquired other guys to replace him. They were just not afraid to spend the prospect capital that they had been building to keep replenishing their big league roster. which is what you're supposed to do. And not just your prospect capital, by the way, your money, you know, your money to take on Max Scherzer. I mean, they spent Luis Angel Acuña to get that guy. That's what you're supposed to do, especially considering Luis Angel Acuña was as blocked as you could be on the Rangers roster. There's really no hole up the middle for a while, barring injury. They got those $500 million middle infield. Center field seems to be held down by Evan Carter. So if you, even if you wanted to move on Luis Angel Acuña to center field, it's not better than Evan Carter out there. So that was a great way to move him to somewhere else. And that's what you're supposed to do. So there's a little bit thinner after the first three, Carter, Langford, and Walcott. But there are some guys at the upper levels who you might see this year. I've seen Owen White a little bit. You know, he needs to, there's some things he needs to clean up to go back to his better self. Justin Foscue, he's done really nothing but hit in the minor leagues. There's not a whole lot of defensive value there. And the Rangers have a pretty good little defensive or a little infield set. I mentioned the two guys up the middle, but they got Josh Jung at third and they got Nathaniel Lowe at first. You might make Foscue a platoon partner over at first base for Nate Lowe, but and he would be one. Dustin Harris could be there at some point this year in kind of an outfield first base role. But those are the big guys I would think you would see in the big leagues at some point this year. Like I said, the system is a little thinner lately.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I rank some pretty fairly thin systems in the Astros and the Blue Jays. I look at this system and I'm like, man, there are some at least interesting players well beyond 10. Maybe not a bunch of like major.
Well, but you also said like big league contributors. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Beyond 10 are really going to contribute to the big leagues this year.
Hey, you're going to have to see with your boy Teodo.
That could be one. I mean, we'll see how he goes this year. You know, he's got to get to double A. First, I think he got a double A last year. I don't even remember at this point. I know he did really well in the fall league, and I kind of joked that if you're going to bring someone over to shore up that bullpen, just have him walk on over from Surprise to Arlington, or not Arlington, to Chase Field and do his thing. But he had to settle for, I believe, did they win the Arizona Fall League Championship? Yes, they did.
That's a question that you very much would know.
I should.
I don't watch the major leagues, but I can tell you all about
my my brain's that like that egg in the very old PSA ads right now. So, but yeah, Teodo might be an exception to the rule. But beyond that, I would be surprised if you see many of those guys, any of those guys, beyond 10 in the big leagues this year.
Sure. Interesting. All right. Well, I think that kind of gives us a good idea of where the Rangers system is at. Let's take a quick break. And after that, we're going to jump into a highly contested debate. That is the age-old question, the Carter or the Langford? Be right back.
Are you still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with quality candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is how it makes hiring easy. It puts everything I need in one convenient location. I can communicate with candidates. I can set up interviews. I can send out messages just a couple of clicks. It makes it easy. And you are leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets for you. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast, including Baseball America. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
whose rap album is the Langford? Let me know who did the Carter.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. I actually kind of want to keep this in the show as the way that we come back from the commercial break. It's just you asking that question. Yeah, who would be the Langford if I don't know. We have to encourage Kendrick Lamar or somebody else to
someone from Texas.
From Texas, the Langford.
Yeah. So like maybe Scarface.
That's possible.
I mean, he's like 800 years old at this point, but
yeah. But that tiny desk was excellent. Hey, anyway, we're back talking Rangers prospects. How dare we talk Houston rap while in an Arlington, Dallas, DFW podcast? Oh man, the culture wars. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this top of the system, because obviously this is what carries the Rangers system to whatever grade of rank they have. Langford versus Carter. How difficult was that conversation when you were sort of working your magic and speaking with people? How were you getting some Langford over Carters? None.
It was not difficult. There wasn't a second of thought that Langford was going over one. And part of it's just because, you know what? I do not have the stomach to take a guy who just helped a team win a World Series sure. and put it over a guy who's very, or under a guy who's very, very, obviously very, very good, could be awesome. One of these gentlemen has a World Series ring already. It's mm-hmm. pretty darn good. And is younger than Langford, if I remember correctly. He's a really fantastic prospect. And I think, you know, he's not going to be necessarily the offensive prospect that Wyatt Langford is. And there's certainly, you know, the hickey still remaining that which showed up in the World Series is left-handed pitching. And he's going to, you know, they mentioned that that's one of his target areas this offseason, as he is getting stronger. You know, he's still, we forget, he's like 21 years old. I think he'd be either in this draft or last year's draft if he went to college. And he'd never really taken, you know, strength building really seriously. Like, he's never been a guy who's lifted a lot of weights or whatever. So that was part of his action item this season or this offseason. So we'll see what he looks like next year. But he's also an excellent defender in center field. Mm-hmm. He's a really well-rounded prospect. Like, if you told me Langford's the better hitter, power hitter, et cetera, sure. But I think overall, you're probably, the ceiling is a little higher on Carter.
Yeah, especially if the power continues to grow and come and he adds strength. I think it's crazy because I just wanted to look it up. He is actually 9 months younger than Wyatt Langford. He also would have been a draft eligible 20-year-old had he gone to college, played 3 years, because 21, 22, 23. He wouldn't have been 21 until August 29th. So it would have been about a month and a half after the draft. On age alone, he wouldn't be eligible because of when he graduated from high school. So, yeah, I mean, he's prodigious in that sense. And that's the thing I always talk about him. I think the other thing is with the left-handed pitching thing, they must be pretty confident, because if you look at the lineup right now and what they have on the bench, they don't their backup outfielders are all left-handed hitting, other than Ezekiel Duran. And I don't think they're going to platoon Carter for Duran in the outfield. I guess, you know, it could happen. He also walks a lot against lefties, you know. And the other thing is, it's left on left, young players. The left-handers that hit righties and hit lefties are superstars. So, you know, it's something to develop, and he's so young, man, right?
Right, and part of the thing, too, is, like, his first full year, 2021, I think, he missed a ton of time
mm-hmm.
because of the injury. So, like, he's even younger, I'm making air quotes here, than his age might suggest. Like, the fact that he was in the big leagues and performing and on the postseason roster and winning the World Series as a starter is unbelievable. So, like, yeah, that's part of the reason I put him at number one. Like, it's close enough that they're really close in our top 100, but I don't think there was a scenario in which I was putting Langford over Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, some of the peripheral skills, run, field, that sort of stuff, obviously big. Wyatt Langford is one of the better offensive prospects that we have out there. Now let's get down further into the list. Obviously, you know, Carter and Langford, easy to get those guys at the top. Who's another player that excites you here in this top 10? Are there a couple? I think there's one in particular that you'll probably talk about, but you surprised me. Let's see.
Yeah, the big three is obviously Langford and Carter, and then Walcott, who, you know, had a really interesting season, moved out of the DSL very quickly, had a, you know, white hot start in the ACL, then had some trouble with spin in the ACL, and then moved to high A for a little bit. He'll go to one of the A-ball levels this year. I'm not sure which. You know, it's obviously a weird path. You don't see often basically skip a DSL, ACL, then high A very often, but there were reasons for that. You know, he's incredibly talented and, you know, can do a lot of things. And, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if he was a top 10 prospect next year if he figures out some plate discipline. But he's also really young, both, you know, in regular age and, you know, just baseball experience, or at least professional baseball experience. So that's the guy who I'm really excited to see, you know, both at spring training and wherever he may wind up here in the regular season, because, you know, I'm in North Carolina. So if he goes to one of the A-ball levels, he's going to be somewhere around here, like either at Hickory or down east. So that's the guy I'm most excited for. Other than that, you know, we talked about Foskey. We can really hit. Talked about White. He's, you know, got some issues to clean up. I'm interested to see what Brock Porter looks like at high A. Cam Cauley will show you flashes. He showed you flashes in the fall league, but still got some swing decision issues to shore up. You know, Rocker, I don't know when if we're going to see him. I mean, he might be a fall league candidate if he heals up in time.
Let's pause there for a second, too. I wanted to go back to Walcott for a moment, if I could. You got the 50-hit tool on him. When you were talking to opposing scouts, maybe internally as well, what was the feedback on the hit tool and the sort of stuff that he needs to clean up? Because there definitely is a fair amount of swing and miss there.
It's, like I said, it's pitch recognition. Like he had a vulnerability to sliders, and he knows it, and he just got to stop swinging at them. And it's one of those things that's an issue that you're so young, you can train that, and you can go with a slider machine all day. You can do all sorts of things. You can put the VR glasses on and watch the sliders and do all that stuff. And it's just something that I think you can get better with as you get older. So we'll see. I mean, there are plenty of players in the minor leagues with swing decision issues. There are plenty of players in the minor leagues with issues with spin. And we've ranked some of them pretty high. So I'm not really that concerned about that at this point. Especially considering, like I said, the development track was completely different than you would see from a normal prospect. Normal prospect signed. He's been a pro for 13 months because he signed January 15th last year.
Yeah.
So this is very early in his career, and he showed really exciting stuff. But there's some warts to clean up. So
yeah, we'll sure.
It does make an interesting competition next year.
And you mentioned another one there too, in Kumar Rocker. Let's talk a little bit about their former top of the draft first round picks. They have a couple of them that were teammates with Vanderbilt. Let's talk a little bit about the Vandy boys now. Rocker obviously got injured. There was a lot of interesting stuff over 2 years with him leading up to this surgery. Lots of questions about his health, pitches an indie ball, gets drafted, comes out in the fall league with a different arm slot. He was pitching pretty well before he went down. So there might've even been some potential optimism around him. That has not been the case with Jack Leiter. He has not really been injured. I don't think at all from my understanding. I can't remember any injuries, but he just hasn't pitched well and he hasn't been effective. Are we looking at a third consecutive year in Double A for Jack Leiter? But talk to me a little bit about the two, because they were on very divergent paths in terms of how they entered pro ball and then sort of what's happened since.
Well, let's start with Rocker. Like, I ranked him above Leiter because the reviews on him at High A were really, really, really good in that first month. The slider looked like the college slider again. Everything looked like a guy who was, you know, as advertised, freak nasty. And then he got hurt. And that's unfortunate, but I went with the guy who had good reviews. Like, went into your question on Leiter, well, yeah, I think he's probably going to start in Double A again. He didn't master it. He made some changes with the delivery, as I think J.J. Cooper wrote a pretty good story about that. Tried a lot of stuff. And I remember, you know, he had a couple good start stretch in Double A where it went really well for him for a little while, and nobody seemed to know why. And then he kind of reverted back to his ways. Like, he still struggles to find the strike zone often enough. When he does find the strike zone, it's hittable. I don't know why you'd move him to AAA. And also, for a guy with control command problems, AAA is not going to be friendly because it's got the auto zone on certain days. Unless you want to start him on the weekends only, when you have a human ump who can be challenged. But you know, there's a lot of pitchers in the minor leagues who found out that strike zone in AAA is not super forgiving. So I don't know if I'd take a guy who already has trouble without an auto zone and put him in a place with an auto zone and maybe exacerbate those problems further.
Has there been talk about, you know, moving him to the bullpen potentially, or what the future sort of holds? Anything internally that they're working on in terms of pitch mix? Because it feels like he's not landing the fastball. That's inconsistent, but he will show flashes with it. The secondaries have been a major issue. If I remember correctly, he kind of went back to the curveball a little bit more at certain points last year. Changeup has never really developed. The slider's never really become a good pitch for him. Sort of what potentially could they do?
They like the slider a lot better than you do. They think that's his
best. I know pitch. That became his best pitch like in 2022. I thought maybe the numbers are better. I'd have to look again, but I thought it had reverted back in 23 a little bit.
You know, it's learning how to use his stuff, and he's going to be successful in pro ball in a much different way than he was in college. And I think that's part of that is just teaching him that. They've tried a lot of things, and they just haven't really worked consistently. And to your question about the bullpen, they certainly didn't suggest it. Although I don't think that's anything they would, you know, tell me if they want to keep his value high-ish. But we'll see. I mean, it's been a rough go for him. I really don't know. He's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a question mark, man.
It'll be interesting to see what this year has in store for Leiter, as he is 40-man eligible, needs to be protected from the Rule 5 draft next year. And I'm going to make a prediction here that he may not get protected, because this is a fairly deep 40-man roster. And there's other options in the minors they may have to protect.
It just kind of depends on what they do the rest of the season as far as dealing guys.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, there's other decisions that are going to obviously have to be made in that that 21 class too. So it should be interesting. But he might be a guy that, you know, it wouldn't be totally shocking to see him not protected, though. It's rare that a guy from college gets taken that early in the draft and isn't. So we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. But I do think it's kind of interesting. But beyond that, let's talk about somebody here at the end of the show. Somebody that you want to call out, we'll say from like 11 to 30, maybe even beyond, as we've worked on our 31 to 40s, which should be coming out sometime next week. Anybody that you're excited about, that you're like, hey, this guy could turn into something. I thought they had a pretty good draft last year.
Yeah, you can talk about some arms. They've been really good at getting these under the radar arms. You know, Aiden Curry a couple of years ago was really good. He looks really interesting. Big boy, projectable, throws hard already. Nice slider, needs a real third pitch, but there's a long way to go. And for, I believe it was UDFA, that's a good little pickup. Echedri Vargas was a guy, boy, did I hear it in my chat that Etrédi Vargas wasn't ranked in the 10 or even like in the 5. It's a good phenomenon with the chats to where it's always focuses on someone, and I'm never sure who it's going to be, but they're always got bees in their bonnet about somebody. And this time it was Vargas, who had a really great year in the ACL. We'll see how he does in low A, but you know,
he was there for a game.
Well, I mean, that's all you need, right? Just one game in down east, and you've had enough. Skylar Hales is a really interesting arm. Same idea with Caden Scarborough and Isaac Tiger. These are all guys who could pop next year in various degrees. But, you know, like I said, the system has thinned a little bit for good reason and will really thin once Carter and Langford graduate. I'd be interested to know, and I think this is more of a J.J. Cooper database query sort of thing, how many times a team wins the World Series and then has two top five or top 10, whatever that we rank them, prospects next year. Like, that seems very difficult to do. Like, obviously, I don't think there's been a whole lot of them, to be very honest with you. Like, it's a weird one where you win the World Series and you still have an amazing farm system, especially because of the way we rank these things, where we prefer top-heavy farm systems to balanced with a lot of, you know, 50s and 55s. If we have two guys that we think have, you know, 65-70 grade upside, that farm system is better than one with a bunch of fives.
Absolutely. But any sort of closing thoughts here on the Rangers?
Not really. I'm trying to think about who I'm excited to see at their camp and in this general region next year. I'd like to see what Anthony Gutierrez looks like with a full year of health. Obviously, he had nagging issues all year, and he was a big deal a year ago at this time. Interested to see what happens to Leiter. We'll see. I mentioned those guys, Hale and Scarborough and Tiger, will be interesting to watch. Liam Hicks really made a name for himself in the fall league with, you know, Mr. Six Hit Game. I think that's seen a lot of things in my career. I believe that was the first six hit game I've ever seen, which is pretty darn impressive. But yeah, it's not the deepest system anymore. So we'll see. But they always pull some rabbits out of their hat. So, like I said, we'll see. It should be fun, a fun season for the Rangers. And especially considering you've got the reigning World Series, they're going to get the Futures game / All-Star game. And then even if you want even more baseball money flowing into that region, the winter meetings are in Dallas. So they are living large there in the Lone Star State.
2024, it's the year of Dallas baseball. So
yes, sir.
There you go. Put your bets on Dallas Baptist to win the College World Series. Mm-hmm. All right, you heard it here first. For Jeff Ponce, for Josh Norris, and everybody on staff here at Baseball America, we appreciate you guys listening, liking, subscribing, and obviously supporting us on the website. We can't do this without you guys. Have a great week.